Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There are concerns today for an Iranian athlete after she competed in a wall climbing event in South Korea over the weekend without her headscarf. Elnaz Rakabi posted on Instagram yesterday that she's safe with her team on its way back to Iran. But Iran, as you know, has been rocked by protests since the death a month ago of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who was arrested by morality police for allegedly not wearing her headscarf properly and died days later, apparently, after being beaten in police custody. Reza Aslan is an Iranian-American writer and professor with an eye to Iran's history, and we thought we'd get his view. Reza, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And do you worry, first of all, about Elnaz Rakabi?
I do. I mean, it's so hard to get reliable information out of Iran. And for those of us who have been monitoring the Iranian state media, which is itself basically just a propaganda arm, it's become kind of a grotesque game trying to interpret exactly what is going on behind the facade. And, you know, Elnaz isn't the only one, of course. There are other athletes that have stood up against the regime or that have been in solidarity with the protesters and have paid the price.
Yeah. Well, and in this moment, you're thinking back to what was called the Constitutional Revolution in Iran, which began in 1905. Let's spend a second on that. This is when a coalition of Iranians launched the first democratic revolution, uprising against Shahs who were, as you write, selling off bits of the country, bankrupting it for their extravagant lifestyles. These Iranians were able to draft a constitution, elect a parliament, amaze the world. Now, the Shah did push back, but people were stunned that this was happening.
This was the first democratic revolution in the entire Middle East. But the successive Shah that came to power really went to war with the constitutionalists. And that revolution quickly became a civil war, one which the Shah almost won completely. He had actually taken over the entirety of the country, except for a city in the northwest of the country called Tabriz. And Tabriz became the last bastion of the constitutional revolution.
Well, you write about all of this in your new book, An American Martyr in Persia, The Epic Life and Tragic Death of Howard Baskerville. Now, let's get to that. But he was a missionary stationed in this area, you know, teaching, and he decided to, you know, take off his robes and take up arms to go out and feed people during this revolution that he was embracing. And that's getting you to the difference then and now, which is that the world was embracing what was happening there. And, you know, he galvanized the world, but the Iranians then were instrumental in their own revolution.
Right. So once Tabriz becomes this last bastion of revolutionaries and the Shah's Russian-trained forces are attacking, the revolutionaries send out a call to the rest of the world. Please put away the prejudice of nationality and the bigotry of creeds and come to us and help us in this fight for freedom. And the call works. Mm. We have fighters from Russia and Georgia and Armenians and Turks, Jews and Christians, Baha'is, Muslims of all stripes come to Tabriz to create this truly multi-ethnic, multi-religious force to fight back against the Shah for the freedom of Iran. And amongst this massive coalition is this one American that you mentioned, Howard Baskerville, who had originally come to Tabriz in order to preach the gospel, but who eventually gives up his missionary post, his teaching, and joins the revolution.
Right. Well, Baskerville becomes a martyr. He's shot in the heart. But the revolution succeeds for a while. I mean, you know, it's a constitutional monarchy. But stay with 1905 to 1907. What did you see happening then that you may be seeing now or that you're looking for to happen now?
Well, the key to the success of the revolution of 1905 was coalition building. The revolutionaries were able to talk about their desires for a constitution and a parliament in a language that appealed to the masses. They were able to bring in farmers and cheesemongers and fishermen, and of course, intellectuals and business interests. And then crucially of all, they were also able to draw in the clerical establishment, the clergy, which joined this revolution en masse and really gave it the kind of moral foundation that it needed. Mm-hmm. And of course, the second factor in their success was the ability to internationalize the conflict. And that's what we're seeing right now. When you talk to the people on the streets in Iran, the young men and women who are baring their chests to these bullets and willing to die for these most basic rights, what they say over and over again is they just want our attention. They want to make sure that the world is watching, that the world won't look away. Because if we look away, Robin, then the regime can just kill everyone and then go back to square one. And that's not an option anymore.
Reza Aslan, writer, professor, author of the new book, An American Martyr in Persia, The Epic Life and Tragic Death of Howard Baskerville. Reza, thank you.
It was my pleasure.